for our own success and our own salvation, our own well-being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, O believers, be mindful of Allah as He deserves and die not except in a state of submission to Him. O believers, be mindful of Allah and let every soul reflect, think, prepare on what you have sent ahead for tomorrow, for your afterlife. And be mindful of Allah, be conscious of Allah. Verily Allah is aware of all that you do. One of the most common questions people ask in times of hardship, whether a personal hardship or a hardship that affects a large group of people, is a question of why. And in a personalized sense, why me? Why me going through this particular hardship? Why did I receive this particular blessing that I did not expect? Question of why. Question of desire. And as human beings, naturally, because of our limited knowledge, our insignificant knowledge and wisdom of the realities of the world and the intertwined factors behind the scenes, we wonder at times why things happen the way that they do. And oftentimes when people ask why, there are many related questions to it. Why do you exist to begin with? Why do people exist? Why does this world exist? Why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to you or to others around the world? And do we have choice, and how much of that choice do we think about and act upon on a daily basis? Or is everything predetermined and we have no choice? The question of why, of course, is a question in Islam of Qadr, thinking about one of the most important and also least studied pillars of Iman, belief in Al-Qadr. Al-Qadr, we've spoken about many times, but Al-Qadr, the concept of divine decree, there's no perfect word in English to summarize it. There's no philosophical term that encompasses all aspects of Qadr, because in English, in Western philosophy, there is no equivalent to the concept of Qadr in Islam because of its conditions, because of its guidelines, because of its pillars. So when we talk about Qadr, we're talking about some very basic principles. If you believe in these principles, you believe in Al-Qadr. Amongst them is the principle that God is all-knowing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Inna Allah bi kulli shay'in alim. Allah knows everything that happened in the past, everything that's happening right now, to everyone and to all of His creation, in every parts of His creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that will happen in the future. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that could have happened in a different way if it were to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is beyond our comprehension. In terms of the details, in terms of the specifics, we can't understand and fathom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge being complete, but we say, as Allah tells us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah is not missing anything in His knowledge. He knows everything. He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. This is the first principle. The second is that everything of Allah's knowledge, and if we were just to think about our universe, our being created by Allah, if we just think about our universe and what Allah tells us and the Prophet ﷺ conveys to us, that knowledge of Allah, of the future, of everything that will happen, that knowledge Allah commanded as He created the pen to write everything that will happen until the end of times. The choices that His free will beings, the ins and the jinn that we know of, at least these two beings, all the choices that they will make, this is all included in the writing. All of that is written. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is one thing. The knowledge being written is a separate thing. Our choices and the concept of free will is a third thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that He has a will. And when we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, and this is found at least a dozen times in the Quran, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ or وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, that Allah has a will means He permits the universe to operate in a specific way, in a general sense, with the laws of the universe and the natural laws He created, as well as with specific things that happen. Allah permits them to take place. Some of the things that He permits to take place in this universe, that He allows people to do certain things, He does not love. So we distinguish what Allah allows from what He loves. Does Allah love for people to kill, to oppress, to abuse, to cheat, to steal, to lie? Absolutely not. And we know this because Allah informs us of it. And at the same time, does Allah permit people, sometimes, with their choice, they will choose evil? Yes, He permits in this life, and only in this life, not in the afterlife. But why? The question of why is a separate matter. That's the question that He told us about in the Quran and throughout the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, what is called a theodicy. why are some things of suffering or evil or hardship permitted to occur in this world, in this universe, but they are not permitted in the next life? Because the next life is the life of accountability, and this is the life of testing. This is the life of patience. This is the life, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to see who's best in their conduct. This is the life in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you will leave this world. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Everyone will depart. Everyone will taste death. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ, we will test you, O mankind. بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. With difficulty, and some for more difficulty for some people than others. And khayr, the test of ease, the test of blessings, is a difficult test as well for some people, and they lose themselves in the process. And then at the end of the day, وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ, everyone will return to Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about His will, but it doesn't mean you don't have a will. It doesn't mean you don't have choice. In fact, as He tells us about His will, Allah informs us that the entirety of the point of you existing, the question of why, is about your will, it's about your choice. And if the word choice is easier for us to grasp and understand and implement and redirect our thoughts towards, then let us think of the concept of choice. Why are you here today? Why are you here in this very moment? Now, sometimes when people hear this question, the question is responded to with a thought of the decisions that you made to be in this gathering, in this masjid, listening to the khutbah. But it could also be, why do you live here to begin with? Or are you a traveler, and why are you traveling? Why are you in this country? Why were you born? Why were your parents born? You go all the way back to Adam alayhi salam. Why was he created? You go back to the beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth. Why does it exist? These are the questions we started with. These are the questions that give us a foundation. So as some Muslim psychologist stated, when people ask why me or why, they might ask back, why not? What do you mean by why me? Is there something you're expecting about your life, about your story, about the things outside of your control? Or can you focus only on the things within your control? Are you supposed to direct your thoughts and emotions to what you can influence, to what it is that you can change, to the wisdoms you can understand and grasp from every situation? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us wisdom. Allahumma ameen. Another of the principles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's informing us of His attributes and His names is the command of Allah. When He says be, and it is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about kun fayakun in the Quran several times, so we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do everything. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. But everything that He does is based off of His wisdom, and His wisdom is complete and perfect. When people start with who God is, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and they know that He is perfect, it protects them from straying. It protects them from thinking negatively about Allah or about fate. It protects them from disconnecting from acts of worship. When you know who your Lord is, and the conceptualization of Allah in your mind is based off of the reality of what He stated, then you will find yourself also more resilient. You will find yourself turning to the tools that Allah told you to turn to when you go through pain. Rather than living in the past, you find yourself focusing on what does Allah want from me in the present. Because the choices of the present affect the story that's written out of the future, affect what's going to happen to me in the next life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim is the one who has ultimate wisdom and also the one who judges. And if you were to combine the two, as many scholars have stated, with the connotations of this name, it is the one who rules based on His perfect wisdom. The one who rules based on His perfect wisdom. When we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom, there's nothing like it we can compare it to. But Allah gives us some questions to think about in the Quran, particularly for those who stray from the truth. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you think you were created, in other words, without purpose, that Allah made you for play, for sport, for amusement, and that to Allah you would not return? Do you think you were created just for fun, just to live on earth, for no purpose, no greater objective, no transcendence, no meaning in your life, in your decisions, in your actions, and that to Allah you would not return? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this group of people. When they go astray, they start to stray in other things as well, in terms of their understanding of morality. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنَ النَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we did not create the heavens, the heaven and the earth, and what is in between, batila, with falsehood, with no purpose, with no intent, with no wisdom, with no objective. Rather, this is the assumption, ذَلِكَ الظَّنِّ. This is an assumption, there is never certainty. This is the assumption of people who reject the truth. And so there's a warning for those who reject the truth from the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example in the Qur'an that is based on the fitrah that sometimes we find coming up in conversations where injustice is discussed. And he says, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. This is found in two variations in the Qur'an. Do you expect Allah to make those who submit to the truth and those who follow morality, do you expect them to have the same results, the same judgment, the same end destination as those who commit evil, as those who oppress their souls and other souls in this world? SubhanAllah, one time we had a woman embracing Islam. And right before she embraced Islam, she was answering some final questions of why. And I asked, is there anything else, any other thought, any question that comes to mind? And it was a group of maybe 5 or 6 individuals at a masjid here in Michigan, actually. She said, I just want to make sure one more time, you believe in a literal hellfire, right? I said, yes. So it's not metaphorical, that it's just an idea of a punishment. There's an actual hellfire, according to Islam. He said, yes, can't deny something like this. She said, I'm ready to become Muslim. And so she became Muslim, but the question later was, out of curiosity, why did you ask that question? Because most times you will find people not wanting to address the reality of hell. For her, it was the final, basically the final point of conviction, that this is something she wanted to believe in. And so Islam has this concept of a literal punishment in the next life, yes. We asked why, and she said, I have been abused so many times in my life, and I have seen so much abuse and injustice that people got away with at a legal level. I can't imagine that we all die and that there is no punishment for these people in the next life. Can you really imagine people who are committing genocide and they've killed over 10,000 children, that there's no accountability? You expect that God, who is the source of justice, Al-Adl, do you think God is going to allow people to kill and kill and kill and abuse and steal and do all that they're doing, whether individually or they're doing this at an economic level or a political level or they are killing people? Do you really expect those who are righteous to be like those who are evil? Is that what your fitrah is telling you? أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. On what basis do you judge? There's no wisdom in such a judgment. You can't imagine that those who are facilitating and those who support evil and genocide and killing the world are going to have the same end result as those who are moral and upright and following the truth from their Lord. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about His wisdom, we understand the colonized Muslim is not going to be like the colonizer, like the occupier. The colonized lands of believers are not going to have the same end result as those who oppress and occupy. Those who facilitated some of the worst examples of injustice in this world through slavery, through genocides in Bosnia and Rwanda, against the Rohingya in East Turkestan, the Holocaust, whatever it may be, those who kill, and they kill, and they kill, and then they justify, and then they deny, and then they twist the narrative. You expect that there's an afterlife in which all people are equal? Do you think your wealth and your political connections are going to protect you in the next life? As some of the pagan politicians, the elite of Quraysh thought, they thought, if I have so much money, and I get whatever I want, and I never have to be held accountable in Mecca because they are the political elite, they assumed that their wealth would save them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us it does not. When we think of Qadr, you have to think of the lived reality of belief in Qadr. And that includes the concept of tawakkul. It's an internal act of worship where you know you can rely upon Allah. And you know that you are turning to Him, internally first and externally second. And there are many examples we can give, obviously worldly examples. We are not comparing this. But the example of trusting someone who is righteous and very proficient, let's say an attorney, to take care of a specific task, you're not as worried about that task. Trusting the most proficient doctor, a trustworthy person who's also amazing at what they do, you're not as worried because you have some sense of relief that I'm in good hands. And of course, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's no comparison. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. When you think of you putting your trust in Allah, you're putting your trust in the one who says, كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The one who has access to all the knowledge of the universe, the one who is all knowledgeable. You're putting your trust in Allah who cares more about you than you care about yourself. You're putting your trust in the one whose name we start with everything when you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The ever merciful, the oft forgiving, Al-Wadud, the one of intense love for his creation. So you're putting your trust in Allah, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And Allah tells us He's sufficient for us. We say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. What can you say at times when there's nothing left to do? حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. We put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this concept of tawakkul in Islam, it answers many of the questions of why. It protects you. Instead of looking for a literal answer, why me? Why this and why that? We shift our attention to an action item, a very practical way of life in which we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to manage our pain. You can have pain in this world, it's not against Islam. You're allowed to be sad in this world, it's not a weird foreign thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced sadness. And we have many examples like this in the Quran and Sunnah. But the point is, what are you doing to manage that pain or overcome your challenge or your hardship? You may be a young college student, you may have lived on this earth for 80, 90 years. You may be coming from a background in which you struggle with a lot of poverty, or you may have been born into a family of much wealth. But the question, when things occur, when things arise, the question of why actually doesn't help us if we don't have access to the answer. And since we don't have access to all the answers of the universe and the answers behind the scenes, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we turn to what He told us to turn to. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give us a revelation that is pointless. Rather, it is shifa'un lima fi sudur, a healing for what is in the hearts. It is a guidance, hudan lil muttaqeen, for those who are submissive and conscious of God. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the tools to deal with the test of this world. It's not that you're just taking the test. Part of that test, you have tawakkul internally, is also the actions externally, al-akhth bil asbab. This is part of believing in al-qadr. In Islam, we emphasize you have to take all the physical means. Sometimes we say, I did everything that I could, but we didn't. There's a little more. Sometimes people say, I can't do anything else for this relationship, but maybe there's a little more. Maybe, in some cases. Somebody says, I studied, I did enough for my exam. Are you sure you did everything you could? Do your best and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you cannot say, I have tawakkul, if really what you have is called tawakkul, where you say, I trust in Allah, but I won't take any means. Because nobody does that. You don't do that with school, you don't do that with your work, you don't do that in life. You can't say, I want a child and not have the means for the child, the cause and the effect. You can't say, I want a degree, I want an education, and not go and register for university semester and take classes and pass exams. We know we have to take the physical means. But sometimes from a faith-based perspective, we slack off or we have shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us strength. Allahumma ameen. And this is a reminder, especially for many of the young Muslims developing their habits, for many of the college students and high school students, that we teach them as well. You have a lot of potential, but that potential cannot rely on just wishing and talking and dreaming of and even praying for and making dua for. You have to follow it up with as much action as is necessary for you to achieve the result that you want. Part of belief in al-qadr is not just that things are written in terms of the future, but that they are based off of the choices of today and tomorrow and every choice you make and every habit that you have. We know the famous example of the Bedouin man. He comes to the masjid. He left his camel untied. Generally, if you know anything about camels, if you leave it untied, it's going to run away. And the Prophet ﷺ asked him, why don't you tie it? And he says, I put my trust in Allah. So this is an example of misunderstanding trust, tawakkul. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, اعقلها وتوكل على الله. Tie your camel and also put your trust in Allah. Meaning you have to have both components. He didn't just tell him, tie your camel. Tie your camel and also do the internal act of worship of trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You make dua. It's one of the causes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows in this world to be a means of goodness. It was written before that you made dua for something, and because you made the dua, you were granted. It was a means of achieving something. Just like when you say, I studied for my exam, you made dua for something, it was one of many reasons you were given something or protected from something in this world. And Allah commands us to make dua. So this goes against the notion that some people might have. I don't need to ask Allah, Allah knows what I need. No, Allah told you to ask Him. Allah told you to take that means. Allah told you about the cause and the effect. And finally, the last principle that I'll share today is the concept of free will. And I want to share this only because there's a lot of confusion about it. What is free will? What are we supposed to focus on? And I want to avoid and skip over what free will is not from a Western philosophical lens, because there are many variations and misunderstandings. Free will in Islam, this English term, we're talking here about your own choices. Free will in Islam encompasses at least two things. You're talking about things that you directly attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you could be talking about things that you attribute to human choices and Allah permits to occur in this world. But both are based on Allah's will. But when we talk about free will in Islam, we are talking about the choices that we have agency over. Your ability to do something, your ability to influence something, your ability to change a situation. And so when you think about free will, yes, we said, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. You cannot will for something except if Allah permits it, wills it in this universe. It doesn't mean that you don't attribute actions to yourself as well. An example of this is what? If you're fasting Ramadan, Ramadan is around the corner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to make it to that month and to be accepted and to be forgiven before that month and to prepare properly for it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us that if someone accidentally, unintentionally, if they forget that they're fasting and they ate or they drank, he said, this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does this mean you're allowed to just eat and drink anytime? No. So you attribute that, as in the hadith, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas when you talk about someone intentionally committing a sin, the major sin of skipping a day in Ramadan, one of the worst sins that can be committed, in fact, to skip an obligatory act of worship, you attribute this to yourself because you made that choice. It was intentional. There was no forgetfulness in it. So when we talk about choice, we are talking about the things that we want to do, the things we intend, and the actions, therefore, that follow up from that. And I'll give you an example. A young man, college student, he was asked about a particular sin that he was doing as a lifestyle. He said, that's my qadr. That's decreed to be. You're choosing to do this qadr. What do you mean it's decreed to be? You cannot justify your sin by saying that's how things are decreed to be. You're not allowed to do that in Islam. Why? Because you're making the choice right now to do that. Number two, you don't know the future. And because you don't know the future, you have to make choices today based on Allah's command. And Allah commands you to do this and to stay away from that. Allah commands you and He informs you and He gives you good news. And He gives you warnings. If you do these things, it leads to paradise and more mercy from Allah. And if you do other things in this world and you fail that test, you disobey Allah, there's a punishment or consequence for it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. You cannot justify sinfulness as a lifestyle, as a choice today, by saying, that's just my qadr. You are choosing to do that. So a young man who said, I'm not praying. Somebody asked him, why are you not praying? He's like, it wasn't written for me. He's like, that's not what it means when you say it wasn't written for you. Can you get up right now and pray? Are you able to physically stand and pray? He said, yes. He's like, then it's not written for you. You're choosing. You're choosing, not written for you in the sense of blaming qadr. You're choosing to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine people who kill and steal and all of that and say, well, that was just my decree. That was my predestination. Well, you made that choice. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly shifts our attention to in the Quran. Choices. Your choices matter. Your choices have consequences. And of course, one of the most important questions of choice is about injustice, when you hurt other people, or when you see injustice in the world, when you see injustice in Gaza and Palestine and Sudan and East Turkestan. Why does Allah permit people who commit evil and injustice, dhulm? Why does He allow them to live in this world for an extra second or two, for an extra year or 10, for an extra century or two, a dynasty, a civilization, a country that is established on evil, that is established on genocide or ethnic cleansing? In this country and around the world, we know the history of killing natives of the land, of enslaving people, of violence of all types. And so when we think of this concept, we remember a few things. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this world has a purpose, and it's not accountability. It's the test. While you're taking the test, you are not being held accountable. While evil people are taking the test, they are not held accountable. Their sins are being recorded. And some of them are given more time in this world because of how evil they are. They're given more time in this world so that their punishment increases in the next life, so that their consequences increase in the next life. The next life is a life of justice, where everything will be restored, and the life of ultimate reward, and that's what the believers look forward to. But on a personal level, you remember when you hear of dhulm, injustice, that there are different types. One of these types is injustice against your own soul. Do not be unjust to your soul. Do not do the things that Allah commanded you to stay away from. And follow the things Allah told you to do. Injustice to other people. Start with your family, your friends, your classmates, your co-workers, your colleagues. Start with the people close to you. Do not be a person who commits or facilitates any kind of injustice in this world. And finally, when you think about your relationship between you and Allah, do not commit an injustice by misplacing the right of Allah. Allah commanded you of something, so turn to Him. Spill out your heart to Him. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He decreed, there are many wisdoms for it. All of these wisdoms are intertwined. The reward He tells you about is eternal, and the reward of Jannah will be worth it. And the only thing we can do is to persevere. فَاصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ. Hold on, persevere, endure. The promise of Allah is true. And do not be affected by people who don't have certainty. وَلَا يَسْتَخِفَنَّكَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُقِنُونَ. Ask Allah for forgiveness. He's the all-forgiving, the ever-merciful. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.